Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Anybody glad to be in God's house together? It's such a great, great, beautiful day today. Well, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. So thankful to have each and every one of you with us today. Just a couple of brief announcements before I get into my message is in your service guide, you're going to find an envelope that looks just like this. Those of you that made a legacy pledge for our summer legacy offering, just go ahead and put that in here. You can drop it in one of the green giving kiosks. I know with summer vacations and all the things that are going on, some people kind of miss services here and there. And so we also have commitment cards available at Information Central. And if you'd like to put a commitment into that, once again, typically for our legacy offering, we receive that on a certain date. But this time, we're just going to, any time that works good for you between now and the end of August will be absolutely perfect. So thank you for those that are already doing that. We greatly appreciate it. We are well on our way to taking care of the things that we need to take care of. One of my favorite things to do is on the first Sunday of the month is we get to recognize a Dream Team member, and we have an amazing Dream Team here, don't we? So thankful for our Dream Team. They're all the ones that come and serve and just help get this ready, transform this school into a place of worship. And so it's my just joy to introduce to you or announce to you, I say introduce, I think I probably made them panic that they're going to have to walk up here and say something, but announce to you our August Star of the Month is Pedro Hernandez. Pedro's actually serving today. Come on, stand up, wave your hand. Yeah, Pedro is awesome. Man, he has a smile that's a mile wide and just makes you feel so good and so welcome. We love Pedro and his family and just so thankful for you. And so, man, if you're not connected to the Dream Team, let me tell you, you are missing out because we have a great time together. We grow in relationship with each other. We get to challenge one another, and it's an amazing time. And so the way that you get to be on the Dream Team is by attending Growth Track. And so if you're sitting here and you've not completed Growth Track, you're going to hear it every week until Jesus comes. So you might as well just come in and jump in and get it taken care of. And so just super thankful for all of you guys that serve. I want to take a moment real quickly here and give a big welcome to all those who are listening to our message online today. We welcome our digital audience. And we're so grateful. While they listen digitally, they're not digital. They're real people sitting behind speakers or maybe earbuds as they're going to work. And so we're just so thankful for each and every one of you. We love you. Well, today we are continuing a series entitled, This Is Us. Everybody say, This Is Us. Where I've been unpacking our core values and really the future direction of our church. In week number one, I taught about how we cannot afford to look back, how God has called us to take a position of advancement. We cannot be satisfied with the status quo or be satisfied with the successes of days gone by. And then in week number two of our series, I unpacked point number one of This Is Us. This is the first blank in your sermon outline. Go ahead, pull that out. It's in your service guide. Encourage you to take some notes with us here this morning. But the first point in This Is Us is we sacrificially bring our time, our talent, and our treasure to Jesus. And so in this message, I really unpacked, I taught on how God has called us to be generous people. Generous people. And then last Sunday, I taught on point number two, and that is we are spirit-filled and led. We are spirit-filled and spirit-led. God has promised us the incredible gift of being filled with His Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the gift of the Spirit, God gives us access to all kinds of amazing things. He gives us access to His comfort, His conviction, His power, His character. He gives us access to spiritual gifts and spiritual direction. And so if you missed any of these messages, these are really foundational messages for our church. I encourage you to go back and listen to them. We've got them available on our website. We have an iTunes podcast and even a free church app. So go ahead, listen, and get caught up with us so you kind of know where we're headed. All right? Everybody say, got it. All right, so a story is told of a man who, while on his way home from work, was being tailgated by a stressed-out woman. And as he was driving, the traffic light in front of him turned yellow, and instead of accelerating to make it through the intersection, he had enough time to stop, so he safely stopped. And so this woman who had been tailgating him was furious. She punched the roof of our car. She blared on the horn and started, you know, flipping him off and screaming obscenities because now she was going to be delayed even more. And while she was throwing a fit, just completely out of her mind in anger, she was startled to hear a tap on her car window. Peering over as she looked over her shoulder, she looked up into the eyes of a stern-looking police officer, and he ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. Confused, she got out wondering, what in the world is going on? And after a few minutes passed, the officer came back out of her car with her license, her proof of insurance and registration. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry for my mistake, but when I pulled up behind you as you were screaming and flipping off the man in front of you, I couldn't help but notice the bumper sticker on the back of your car that said, 'What would Jesus do?' So naturally, I assumed that you had stolen the car. Have a great day." This morning, I want to start by asking this question. Do you know who you are in Christ? In other words, even if you attend church services, even if you've repented of your sins and said yes to Jesus, even if you've been water baptized and spirit-filled, do you really know? Do you understand who you are in Christ? And this is an important question because the way that you answer it determines both the quality and the trajectory of your life. I want to share some passages of scripture here that will give us some insight into our true identity. John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." And so many Christians today are not walking in their right as children of God. And while they love the fact that Jesus paid for their sins at Calvary, they view themselves as slaves. They view themselves as slaves trying to earn their freedom and God's approval. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatians 4, 5, says this: "God sent him," who is him, Jesus, "God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law," watch this, "so that he could adopt us as his very own children." Everybody say children. "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." Now I don't know about you, but that should excite you this morning, right? It excites me. I don't have to earn my freedom. I am not a slave. I am a God's own child. I am an heir. I have been written into the will, and so have you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us." Tell your neighbor, "He chose me. He chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and watch this, "and it gave him great pleasure." Bringing you into the family brings God great pleasure. Romans 8, 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call to him, we cry out to him, 'Abba, Father,' for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs." Anybody getting the picture yet? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:18, "And I will be your father." This is what God says. "And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That's who you are. That's your true identity. You are a child of God. You are an heir of the King. You are a son and or daughter of God. I want you to just tell your neighbor, I am a beloved son, or I am a precious daughter in God. Come on, tell him. Tell him right now. Come on. Tell him. It's essential. It's essential that we understand this foundational truth. Because if we don't believe the fact that we have been adopted as God's children, then we can never truly become who God has called us to be. If we don't accept our identity, then we cannot operate in our position within the family of God. And so having a true understanding of who we are in Christ allows us to not only love, but to also receive love. In the Gospels one time, someone came up to Jesus and he says, Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And I think most of us in this room would say, well, you know what? I do pretty good here. I love God. But then Jesus, as he always had a tendency to do, he takes it to a whole another level. He takes it to another place, and he says, and the second commandment is like the first, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but that's hard. I love Jesus, but there are some people, even in church, not this one, all right, but there are some people in church that are just hard to love. Can I get a good amen from somebody? Right, there's some people that are just, they're hard to serve with, and we will struggle with truly loving others if we don't learn how to see and love ourselves through the eyes, through the way that our Heavenly Father loves us. And the reason that loving others is so important is because my destiny is linked to my relationships. My destiny is linked to my relationships. Show me your friends. Show me the people that you hang around with. Show me the people who you talk most to, and I will show you your future. God in his wisdom, he knew that we would need one another in order to grow, in order to mature, and in order to stay on course. And so what he did is he invited us to be a part of his adopted family, a place where we can be known, a place where we can be loved, a place where we can be challenged, a place where we can come together, that we can know God and we can be transformed as we come into relationship with him, a place where we can find freedom, freedom from our yesterdays, and be set free from the pain of the past, a place where we can discover our purpose and we can find fulfillment as we step into our destiny, making a difference. God put us in a family on purpose. So let me pause here for a moment. Let me share with you, who are we? This is point number three, and this is us. We are an engaged family. We are an engaged family. In his book, Homemade, Zig Ziglar writes, "The evidence is overwhelming that the family is the strength and foundation of society. Strengthen your family ties and you'll enhance your opportunity to succeed." And if that holds true in our earthly families, I want you to just imagine what God can accomplish through his Spirit-filled family. As our team has helped me process what God placed in my heart about his dream for our church and for our future, we went back and forth on the wording of this particular point. We discussed several things, and at one point we even simply labeled it as "we are family." But I felt that "we are family" was incomplete because there are a lot of families who carry the term in title but not in demonstration. In other words, they carry it in name, but they don't carry it in operation. There may be a mother, and there may be a father, and there might be 1.8 children. Don't you ever feel bad for the 0.8 person? Actually, that might be my problem. I'm probably the 0.8, right, in my family, right? There may be a group of people who live in the same house, but love and true relationship and leadership and spiritual covering and training aren't occurring there. And in the same way, there are many Christians who carry the name of Jesus. They've got the bumper stickers that say, honk if you love Jesus. Like the lady in my opening story, they are not living out, they are not demonstrating the life that Jesus Christ has called us to live. I want you to understand that each and every one of us, we've all been called not to just go to church services. We've been called to be fully engaged followers of Jesus. Engagement signifies movement. It signifies motion. It signifies activity. An engaged follower of Christ is one who as a child does, pursues a love-based relationship with their Father. An engaged follower of Christ is one who is working to discover their God-given gifts and purpose. It's someone who's not only using those gifts, but they're also continuously working on perfecting them. It's one who lives their life with a spirit of generosity, joyously sharing their time, their talent, and treasure. It's one whose life is committed to the mission of Christ, doing all that they can to reach those who have not yet experienced the hope that only Jesus Christ brings. Listen, God has called us as a church to be an engaged family. So I want to give you this morning some benefits of an engaged spiritual family. Here's the first one. Number one, an engaged spiritual family supports us in times of trial and duress. They support us in times of trial and duress. And I want you to understand, hear me this morning, trials are going to come our way. Jesus even wrote about it. He said, listen, expect it. Troubles will come. And so when the storms of life blow through our lives, we need brothers and sisters who will come along beside of us and say, hey, listen, I love you and you're not alone and I'm praying for you. And what can I do to help you? How can we support you? Galatians 6:2 tells us, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. God did not design us to carry our burdens alone. His answer to the troubles that we would encounter and face in life was to put us in an engaged family full of Christ-like sons and daughters to help us navigate the storms of life. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters and the family of God this morning? Here's the next one, number two, an engaged spiritual family allows opportunity for accountability. It allows opportunity for accountability. That's the primary reason why I want everyone who considers their church home to be in a life group. We want you to grow and build relationships with other believers, because only when true relationships form can we find real accountability. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We cannot be afraid. Listen, as an engaged follower of Christ, we cannot be afraid to hold one another accountable. We all need voices that will speak the truth in our lives. I personally have a pastor that I answer to, and I personally have three overseers who I've given permission to speak into my life. They're there to encourage me. They're there to weep with me when I weep. They're there to rejoice with me when I rejoice. And when necessary, they're even there to rebuke and to challenge me. Accountability is critically important in our battle to overcome sin. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want you to hear this. We confess to God for forgiveness, but His plan for us to find healing comes when we confess our faults. And I want you to understand, that's why some of you in this room, you can't seem to get set free. And the reason is because you've not been accountable to another believer. Going on, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person. In other words, the earnest prayer of a fully engaged believer, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it produces wonderful results. So who are you accountable to? Who in your life have you sat down with and said, hey, let's have coffee, and taken off all the masks and revealed the real you to? Here's the next one, number three. An engaged spiritual family helps us to keep an eternal perspective. They help us keep an eternal perspective. The second part of Matthew chapter 16 is a fascinating portion of scripture to me. Jesus, he starts by asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And so a couple of the disciples, you know, pipe up and say, well, some say you're this and some say you're that. And they repeated what they had heard others say. But then Jesus made it personal like he always does. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And so Peter responds, he says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And I just by the way Jesus responded, I believe that he was so excited. And he says, you've got it, Peter. I'm so proud of you. You are a rock. And he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. And he tells him, he says, Peter, upon you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. I'm even like, man, that's a great day when Jesus talks to you like that, right? But then in the next two verses, Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples the terrible things that would soon come. How he would be falsely accused and tortured. How he would suffer and be killed. And just three verses after being called rock and getting the keys to the kingdom, Peter gets up in Jesus' face and he says, heaven forbid, this will never happen to you, Jesus. And Jesus goes from praising him to saying, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things from merely from a human point of view, not from God's. How many of you know Peter went from having a great day to a really bad day, right? You see, Peter loved being a disciple. He loved the miracles. He loved the crowds. He loved the teaching. He loved this false idea that Jesus had come to establish in an earthly kingdom. Only problem was, that's not why Jesus came to earth. Peter was so enamored with what was happening in the physical realm that he lost sight of what God was trying to do in the eternal realm. In this same scenario, it occurs so often in our lives. We'll have this amazing encounter with Jesus. Maybe he speaks to us through his word as we soap, or we hear his still small voice, or maybe God speaks to us through a dream. And of course, if you're anything like me, when those experiences happen, we'll say, yes, Lord, I'll go, I'll serve, I'll do, right? But then days come and weeks pass and months pass, and we end up getting distracted by what is happening here on earth. We get distracted by our jobs. We get distracted by the pursuit of the American dream. We get distracted by the never-ending search for elusive happiness. And what we need is an engaged spiritual family, someone who loves us enough, like Jesus loved Peter, who will come alongside of us and say, hey, I see the potential in you. God has called you for more than what you're currently settling for. I believe in you, but it's time to take a step up higher. And while these three areas and many others are great benefits of being in an engaged spiritual family, I want you to understand they're not God's ultimate goal. God's mission, his desire, is that no one would perish and that all would experience abundant life in him. So here's the last one, but the most important one. Number four, an engaged spiritual family fulfills the Great Commission. It fulfills the Great Commission, which is, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Watch this, verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. We have been called to make disciples. You have been called to make disciples. There comes a time when we need to learn, when we need to learn to feed, not just be fed. The Apostle Paul, writing in Hebrews, really painful portion of Scripture, Hebrews 5:12 says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food." Ouch. And I just want to take a moment and talk directly to those of you that this is your church home. I want to talk to you just plainly as a pastor. Hear me. I love you and I am thankful for you, but I also love you too much to let you stay where you are at. There are some mature believers, or who should be mature based on their time and length of time walking with Jesus, who should be teaching, who should be serving, who should be facilitating a life group, who should be leading others to Jesus. But instead, you are falling away from even the basic things. Being faithful to God's house. Being faithful to serve on the dream team. Being faithful in giving. Being faithful in pursuing Jesus. Listen, we cannot be an engaged spiritual family if we are unengaged as individuals. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good service." Listen, we need each other. I need you, and you need me, because we all go through seasons when we honestly just don't have it together. And I've watched in our church as spiritual babies, those who are new in their faith, they walk into their church home, and I'm standing up here and I'm watching, and I watch them as they walk in, and they're looking around, and they're looking for their spiritual mothers, and they're looking for their spiritual fathers. But mom and dad, they're gone fishing, or they're out partying too late at night, or they're taking care of animals, or sleeping in, or whatever the excuse might be. And if we're not careful, we can begin to carry the title of the family of God in name only, but lack the operation and the demonstration that Jesus Christ has called us to fill. Our job, your job, my job, is through our spiritual gifts to help one another pursue spiritual growth, to encourage each other to take the next step. As I wrap this up, here's the struggle. When God nudges us to challenge someone, we often pull back out of fear over their potential response. We're worried that if I put myself out there, that someone will say, well, who do you think you are? Listen, if we've covered it in prayer, and if we presented it with the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this. Their response is not our responsibility, but obedience is. So let me admonish you, when someone comes to lovingly challenge you, the proper response should be, "You're right, because you see it immediately," or, "I'm going to pray about this." But either way, though, thank you for loving me enough. I've asked our leaders here to start challenging you, to give feedback, to give encouragement. Why? Because I love you. And because you are important to the body of Christ. Listen, don't settle for mediocrity. If myself or another leader or an elder in the church comes to you with a spirit of love and humility and asks, "Hey, do I have permission to speak into your life?" Listen, please understand, please know that God is trying to send you a message. And so, are you ready to grow? Are you willing to take your next step? Are you ready to take off the mask and be vulnerable, to be really known? Journalist Rudyard Kipling wrote this about families. He said, "A family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is a shelter from the storm, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever alone who is a member of a family." The family of God, the body of Christ, is the most remarkable movement in the history of the world. But we must accept our position as loved sons and loved daughters to truly be an engaged part of the family. On a hot summer day in Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the little lake that was directly behind his home. And as he dove into the cool water that afternoon and headed out towards the middle of the lake, he failed to see an alligator who was swimming directly towards him. In the house, his mother was washing dishes, looking out the window, saw the two headed for a collision course. Immediately, she ran towards the water, yelling as loudly as she could. And hearing her voice, the boy became alarmed and made a U-turn and began swimming back towards his mother. But just as he reached up and grabbed her hand, that powerful alligator snatched his legs and went into a death roll. And from the edge of that dock, the mother held tightly to the arms of her son, and an intense tug of war between mother and beast ensued. While the alligator was much stronger, the mother was much too passionate to let go. A nearby farmer who had been out in his fields hearing the screams for help grabbed his gun and raced to the scene. He ran up to the dock, took careful aim, and he shot the alligator, killing him. Pulled the boy out, rushed him to the hospital, surgery after surgery. And remarkably, weeks and weeks and weeks in the hospital, this little boy survived. His legs carried the signs of the vicious attack. They were marred and disfigured. His arms were scarred from the places that his mother's fingernails had dug deeply into his flesh as she struggled to hang on to the son that she so deeply loved. Once the boy went home, the local newspaper sent a reporter to interview the boy and asked a whole bunch of questions about the experience. And as they finished up, the little boy asked him, just like a little boy would, "Do you want to see my scars?" So he pulled up his pant legs and revealed the trauma, the torn up legs. And then with great pride, he said, "But look at my arms too. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mother wouldn't let go." Oh, that God would stir something within us to be an engaged family. That when the enemy reaches in to destroy, that when the enemy reaches in to discourage, that when the enemy reaches in to try to pull us off course, that somebody in this family would reach down and would grab you and say, "I'm not letting go." With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, there's some of you in this room who, if you're willing to be honest, you become complacent, you become lazy. You've ignored the voice of God in your heart as He's called you to be His hands and feet. You've pushed aside your gifting. You've taken it like the parable of the talent, and you just said, "All right, well, it's fine, God, that you gave it to me, but I'm just going to dig it in a hole and I'm going to bury it because, God, I just don't even want to deal with that right now." I want you to understand, you might be the only light that somebody who is lost, that God is sending to reach them. And shame on us if we're sitting in this room who have experienced God's presence, experienced His love, have been adopted into His family. We've experienced freedom, but no, now we're just too tired, too weary. God is challenging us this morning to be an engaged individual, an engaged part of the family. And so if that's where you're at this morning, right now, I want you to just begin talking to God right now. Just begin to, some of us need to begin to repent right now for the things that we've done, for the things that we placed in priority over our relationship with Him. God, I'm sorry. Come on, right now, just tell Him. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. There are others in this room that you've never said yes to Jesus yet. You've never repented. You've never given your life to Him. And I want you to know that God wants to adopt you into His family here this morning. And it's a great deal. You'll get to walk out of here with all your sins washed away. You'll get to walk out of here forgiven. You'll get to walk out of here set free. And what God's going to begin, He's going to put you on a journey to showing you the giftings that He's placed inside of you so that you too can also make a difference. And so if you find yourself in that place, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, if you're ready to give your life to Him, I want to pray for you. And so would you just lift your hands, no one looking around. Is there anybody here that say, yes, I'm ready? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that you loved me and you loved all of us in this room so much that one day you left your throne in glory and you came to earth. You took on the form of a servant. All to bear a cross, all to bear the punishment and shed your blood. The debt that I should have paid, you paid for me. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for new life. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Come on, I think it would be great if all of us said that. Lord, I give my life to you. All over again, Jesus, I give myself to you. Lord, those of us that have been walking with you for a long time, who have slipped into immaturity, Lord God, I pray that by your gracious and loving hand that you would reach down and that you'd pull us up once again, Jesus. Lord, from this moment forward, Lord, we commit to being a fully engaged family. Lord, I commit to doing my part in the family. And so, Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.